again there to that 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, and I'll read two or three more verses there. And as they led him away, verse 26, the Lord Jesus there is given up by Pilate to the Jews, that, as I read to you, that they may do their will. And he's led here by a band of soldiers on a public road, a public street, bearing his cross, and whoever's in charge, Pilate, whoever had jurisdiction at that particular time, Pilate, I assume, feared that he might die before he got to the cross because he'd already been scourged. Crown of thorns upon his head, loss of blood, scourged him, his back was laid open, weak. The humanity in our Lord Jesus Christ was weak, low ebb. Pilate thought, well, he might die. He might die before we get him up here. And I'm sure the chief priests and the scribes and these stiff-necked Jews believed that too, so they urged him, call someone out of the crowd to help him bear his cross so he don't die on the way up. And they led him away. And they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Well, I don't know whether that ever had any effect on this Simon the Cyrenian or not. I don't know whether he was one of those that was convicted and converted. I don't know whether that incident here convicted him as to who the Lord Jesus was. Don't know. But anyhow, it seems to me like from what the way the verse reads that on him they laid the cross, that he was a little bit reluctant to get in the mix here. Verse 27, it says, and there followed him a great company of people. Now he's bearing his cross, had been scourged. You could see on his head the trace of the crown of thorns. The Bible says that his visage, his external look, his face was more marred than that of any man. Did he look like a man? The man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus didn't look like a man. Because of the suffering at the hands of his own people and these Roman legionaries, he suffered. Couldn't even tell he was a man. Looked at his face like maybe he was a brute beast of some sort. Well, now he's being led away to be put to death. He's already suffered. But he's got to suffer more. He's got to suffer the death of the cross. He's got to suffer the death of deaths. He's got to suffer that death of being cut off from God his Father. Never experienced anything like that in the annals of eternity. Oh, he came from his Father's bosom. Now he's going to be cut off. Going to suffer the death of deaths. Well, I'm sure that there were some in this crowd that was very glad that he was the victim and that he was in and under their power and jurisdiction. Most of them believed that. Almost to the person, they were glad that this man, that they'd finally got him. Finally, they're gonna do him in, do away with him. And they were glad. Most of them there was in a bad mood. I call it a savage, beastly mood. Especially these chief priests and scribes and stiff-necked Jews. These unfeeling Roman soldiers, they had no remorse. They didn't care. Life had no meaning to these Romans. No meaning whatsoever. It was a sport to them. It was a damn sport. Like going to a carnival or to a circus. Didn't mean a thing to them. But listen, all of them that was present in this crowd was not in a bad mood. Not everybody to the man was in a bad mood. There were some, and I say this to the honor of the sex, it is said they were women. It was said by the Lord Himself that there were some women in that crowd that wasn't in a savage mood. They wasn't shouting. Over there I read to you, verse 21, Pilate therefore willing to release Jesus spake again to them, this crowd. What did they say? They cried. I don't mean they lamented. I don't mean that they moaned and mourned. I don't mean that they was wailing. But they cried viciously out loud. They cried to Pilate. They said, crucify him, crucify him. Kill him. Kill him. Do away with him. Even when the man said, what evil has he done? He hadn't done any evil. We don't care. Kill him. Give him to us. We'll kill him. Huh? All them that was present, what, right then, was not in a vicious mood. There were some here, and they were women, and they protested this scene. They protested. I watched on the television here not too long ago. They had what they call a million-man march in Washington, D.C. They said it was a protest. We're protesting. And they was there all day. And they had their say. And the newspapers, for the most part, television, they all applauded. Said what a great thing happened there in Washington. They protested the treatment that the black race had received from the white race, and we ought to be all get together and all that, and they protested against some of the men that came there because they didn't raise their children, they didn't live with their wives, and they said that's wrong, you ought to. Going to be a great change. But has there been a great change? Huh? Has there been a great change? There ain't been no great change. They're protesting, but there's no change. I remember when Ronald Reagan was the president, and they had this awful thing about drugs. Drugs. Consumed. The young people. Young people's on drugs. Got to stop it. And so they protested. And they had his wife. She was the chairman of this organization to do away with drugs. And she said, just say no. Just say no. change anything? Did it change anything? He didn't change a thing. He didn't change a thing. Just the other day they had a... Well, I read something about it in the paper this morning. They had a great big march up in Washington, and people from West Virginia was there, from Fairmont. Told about how they rode the bus 4 hours to get up there. They were protesting the abuse that children are subjected to in this land of milk and honey in which we live. And they're going to do something about it. Well, we'll see. We'll see if there's any change. It's protest. Protest. Now, these women here, that's what they were doing. They were protesting. And they manifested their protest by their cries and their laments. They were not silent in their sorrows. They wept long and loud, as if they were attending a funeral of some dear friend. Lamenting, wailing, wailing. You know the voice of a woman weeping has great power with most people. If a woman in a crowd begins to cry, and she begins to cry loud, she's going to get everybody's attention. And somebody's going to run to her relief. Well, the voice of a woman weeping has great power with most people. But it did not move the hearts of these Roman legionaries. It didn't affect them. The wail of the woman in these situations, I don't know how many women there were, but there was a bunch of them. They followed. And they cried aloud, long, and they wailed and they lamented. But to these Roman legionaries and to these chief priests and scribes and stiff-necked Jews, to them, their cries and wailings and laments was no more than the moaning of the wind. Didn't mean a thing to them. But I'll tell you this, it did move the heart of one in that crowd. And this one whose heart was moved by their crying and wailing, he had the tenderest heart of all them that was there. One whose ear is sensitive to every sound of sorrow and of grief. Though he had answered not Herod, he answered Herod nothing. His reply to Pilate was, "Thou sayest it," and that's all he had to say. Only a few words to Pilate, nothing to Herod. Now, amid all of his sufferings, excruciating pain, all the scourging and mockeries, I've told you, he had been as dumb as a sheep before shearers, and he opened not his mouth. Yet, here, he broke the silence. No longer silent. Why? He heard cries and the wails and laments of the women in unison, crying and weeping. And he said unto them, after he had broke the silence now, he said unto them, They followed him, a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Jesus, breaking the silence, turning unto them, said this. Remember, he had nothing to say to Herod, three words to Pilate. But he turns to these women and he said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me." He said, "Don't waste your tears on me. Don't shed a tear for me. Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves." You notice this? It's weep not. And then the next line, it's weep. Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. I think it's noteworthy here to notice that these words spoken by God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus, was the last connected discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on this earth. Now, I know that he had a few words, a few utterances to John and to his mother Mary, and he had a few words to the dying thief. But this really is his farewell sermon that he had to these wailing, lamenting women. Huh? Oh, listen. "Weep us not for me," he said. He doesn't ask for tears of sympathy. He would not have a tear wasted on him. "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and weep for your children." Huh? Now, I wouldn't want you to think that our Lord said this by way of rebuke. He did not reprove or rebuke or censor these women for weeping for him. That's not what he had in mind here when he said, "Weep not for yourselves," or "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves." He wasn't censoring them. He wasn't criticizing them. He wasn't rebuking them. They took up his cause. And the cries of "Crucify, crucify him," seemingly almost drowned out their pleas and their cries. And these cries came from the tenderness of their hearts. And I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ accepted this empathy and sympathy and this tenderness of these women. Their sorrow, I believe, was legitimate. There was great reason for their weeping. They saw him suffering. They saw him crucified, beaten, bleeding, almost so weak that he couldn't bear his cross, struggling. They saw him suffering. They saw him friendless. He didn't have a friend. He didn't have a friend in that crowd. Here, the friend of sinners didn't have a friend. He didn't have one to identify with him. Not one come to his relief. He was hounded and hunted like a beast, like an animal, like a wounded deer. Man hunts him and hunts him and hunts him and humps him, and finally gets in the last shot and kills him off. Hunted and hounded like an animal, and all alone. By himself. Had you and I been there, we'd have wept too with these noble women, wouldn't we? I hate to feel this evening that I'm past feeling, that I have no tenderness and emotion in my heart and soul. That suffering and loneliness and helplessness would not cause me to weep. If we'd have been there, we'd have wept with these women. He who had suffered must suffer more. He who was meek and lowly in mind, he like a lamb in the midst of howling wolves. He was like a dove, like that little dove out there on the porch that sets up there. He was like a little dove with 10,000 hawks hovering over him. There was none to pity him. None to pity him, none to help him. These women, I think, did well to weep. Ah, but he said, this man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, so innocent, so pure, his enemy, Pilate and Herod, said, what he done amiss? What evil has he done? I find no fault in him. This weeping of these women certainly showed their tenderness of heart. But let us not make the weeping of these women a fountain of sorrow. You need not weep over the crucifixion, but weep over your sins and transgression that nailed him to the tree. That's what he's saying. Weep for yourselves and your transgressions and your children's transgression. Weep for them. Your transgression is put me where I'm at. Don't waste your tears on me. I wrote in my Bible some time ago in verse 27 there. It says, and there followed him a great company of people and women which also bewailed and lamented him. And I wrote down there, don't weep for the cure. This is the cure. He must die. Pay for our sins. What's due us against our sins? He must die. Don't weep for the cure. Oh, to weep over a dying Savior is to lament the remedy. To weep over the dying Savior is to wet the surgeon's knife with tears. Don't do that. To weep over the Lord Jesus Christ as He goes to the cross is to weep over that which is subject to the highest glory that heaven and earth will ever know. He must die. He must suffer and he must die. He must pay what his people owe. He must pay what God's elect owes. He must pay all that we owe. Let's mourn over our sins. Let's weep over our sins. Listen. Weep not for yourselves. Weep and cry and wail over your own sin. But listen to me now. These tears, I think, of emotion, because of the external suffering of the Lord Jesus. He suffered externally, physically. He suffered as a man. About all that a man, listen to me. His humanity could have never sustained the load of the punishment that was transferred from us to him. Apart from the Godhead upholding him as the wrath of God fell on the God. Bible said he was made It says in that verse, made to be sin. The to be is added by the translators, I think. I think the best way to say it, he was made sin. How could that be? Holy and pure and harmless. Was the Lord Jesus Christ perfect, spotless, blameless, without blemish? Made sin. Made sin. He was on that tree. He was actually an adulterer. He was an adulterer involved in adultery. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was all of that. You see, when he hung on that tree and he was made sin, all the sins of God's elect people, all the sins of David, David's adultery, Bathsheba, Solomon and all of his concubines, all the thievery, all of that, laid on you. All of my sins. And if you know him whom to know his life eternal, all your sins was laid on you. And he suffered. He suffered. What my sins merited in hell, he suffered. On that tree. On that tree. That's the remedy. That's the cure for the sinner. Is the do and the die. He must suffer. He suffered our substitute. Our sins transferred. What about these women? Let me tell you that tears of mere emotion because of the external suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ are quickly wiped away and forgotten. Tears of emotion that comes from the external suffering. What happened today? Forgotten tomorrow. I don't know if any of these women ever became converts and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I doubt seriously if they were. None of them are mentioned there in the book of Acts when they met in that room. None of these whole groups of women that followed him, they weren't mentioned. I fear that most of these sympathizers and weepers and wailers, they forgot tomorrow that they had wept today. And that's the way most people are. The mere fact that they had cried and lamented the Savior's doom, his doing, his dying, his suffering, is no sign that they were regenerate followers of God's Lamb. They're like the morning cloud and the early dew. Doesn't last long, Bob. Dew dries up, doesn't it, by about 10 o'clock, and then you mow your grass. They're good emblems of emotion, like I've been talking about. Many tears are shed under powerful sermons, and they become just wasted liquid. Weeping don't change a man's character. It does not cause the putting away of sin. It does not create real faith. Oh no, it's just surface work. It's just that on the outside. Don't build a monument here for these women. Although these women manifested the tenderness of their heart to the Lamb of God, and he acknowledged, and I'm sure he appreciated their tears. He suffered alone. When the sermon is over, most of the time the tears dry up. What's said today is forgotten tomorrow. Lord, help us come to Him. That's your only hope, brethren. That's your only hope. He said that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become guilty. I'm guilty. That's all I can say. I'm guilty. The jury comes out and the judge says, "Have you reached the verdict?" "Your Honor, we've reached a verdict." "Well, would the foreman of the jury stand up and read the verdict? We find so-and-so guilty on every count. We find him guilty on every charge. Guilty, 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 guilty." That's what God's going to do one day. We're either going to admit our guilt here, have our mouths stopped here, or it'll stop it in eternity at judgment. And the charges find him guilty on every charge. What's the sentence, Judge? You know what the sentence is going to be? Send him to hell. Send him to hell. Justice. He'll give you justice. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.